What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode here of Heart State Review. Hope you're all enjoying being quarantined and whatever the fuck you're doing right now. I have no idea. Some of us are still working. I am still one of those people that are stuck working their day job because we are considered an essential employee, or our job is considered essential, so to speak. But I am clearly not an essential employee. But that is a rant for for another day. We've got a great episode this week for you. We missed last week because of the coronavirus or COVID-19 or however you want to refer to it. If you want to refer to it technically, then COVID-19 it is. And just general life kind of getting in the way of that. But here we are again, back on track, back again, or whatever Eminem said back in the day. So we've got a great guest this week in James Shotwell. James has been writing about music longer than I have. I would almost say longer than I've been alive, but that's just disrespectful because he's really not that old. He's generally about a few years older than me, but he's much more talented and much better of a writer than I am. But I owe a lot of my recent writing endeavors due to James. James was the editor at Substream when I first started writing, and so he took a chance on me and kind of brought me on through a mutual friend, a mutual writer named Molly Huddleston that we both knew and that she was writing at that time. And her and I met a very long time ago. And eventually I'll have her on here because she's got a lot of great stories to tell as well. But yeah, I owe a lot of what I've been doing recently to James because he brought me on to Substream. And if he didn't, I never would have gotten to where I am and, you know, everything like that. So it was really it was a great time to bring him on. It was a fun time scheduling it. He's the one that hit me up, to be honest with you, first to ask if he could come on, but he was certainly on my list. It's just one of those things that I have been so distracted through everything going on. And I just some things just kind of slip your mind. But, you know, when he reached out and said, "Hey, I saw, you know, your new podcast," it was a no-brainer. I knew that I wanted to get him on immediately. And so we worked and got it scheduled and made it happen. And it's a great episode. You hear a lot about kind of his career so far in journalism, kind of what he does and what he does with Holics, which is obviously his quote unquote day job, if you will. And then we even talk a little bit, you know, about we talk a lot actually about an upcoming project he's working on. So I think at the time that we were recording, he had announced that. I don't think he has still yet. So if you're listening to this, and I guess you get the quote unquote inside scoop of James Shotwell's new project, which once you hear, I think you'll be just as excited for it as I am. You know, if there's one person in the world that could tackle the kind of project and tackle the kind of subject matter that he wants to really dive into, I trust him with that. You know, it's not even my place to put trust on him, but there's very few people in this world I would listen to talk about the things that he wants to talk about with the people he wants to talk about. And he's one of them. And that's really, you know, just obviously very ambiguous, but, you know, listen to it. You'll hear all about it. It sounds like a great time. And I'm very excited to hear more about that in the coming months. And obviously if we're all going to be quarantined for a while, we'll have nothing better to listen to anyway. So that's about all I can really say about it. It's a good episode. It's a very, very in-depth one just on him and his career. Obviously this is his story. This is all about him. And we do a good job of kind of navigating that, you know. So I hope you enjoy it. If you do, certainly, obviously, you know, leave us a review, subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, we're on Overcast, pretty much anywhere that you can find podcasts, we are there. So thanks for listening so far. Follow along with this ride, and we'll see you next week. All right, hello, James. I hope you're still over there. Hope you're still alive. We'll find out here in a second. And if not, we'll stop this. We'll restart it.
I'm still alive.
Oh, you're still alive. There we go. That's always good. Well, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. I just fought with Ticketmaster to buy my partner tickets to see George Strait in August today. Yeah, good times, good times.
So did you win that fight?
I mean, I kind of did. It was one of those situations where I've gotten really lucky recently because, like, I got My Chemical Romance tickets and a bunch of other shows that are like really high demand. I would jump into that waiting room thing and it would shuffle me into like the top 300 and I would get in right away. So that happened today. I was in that top 300 and then it got to one and it was like, your place in the queue has been invalidated, and it kicked me out. I had to get back in line, and then I was 2000 plus back. And I was come on, bro. But it's at Notre Dame Stadium, which holds like 70,000 people.
Yeah.
So I got in, but then ticket prices, get this, you'll love this. So ticket
Oh
prices,
boy.
face value for the floor, $400.
Whew, man.
Lower bowl starts at
That's
300. Top bowl starts at 100. So
man.
we got a 100, we got top level row
Yep.
19 still paid $100 a person.
That's nuts. I mean, good. I mean, thinking that you said it holds 70,000 people too. That's, I mean, just do some quick math on that. That's a good
A lot.
payday. That
Yeah.
is a man. Yeah, that means
Yes.
$400 for floor seats. I'm assuming it's seated, right? I'm assuming they're gonna throw
Oh,
seats
yeah.
down there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine people are gonna stand for a George Strait concert, not on the floor at least. I mean, you'll stand, but I mean, you're not gonna stand all day for that.
No. I'm
No.
actually, it's she won't listen to this because she doesn't support anything I do like that.
Oh, that's
So
brutal.
it's fine. You know, she listens to me talk all the time, so I never expect her to listen
Yeah.
to me talk on podcasts. But
No, that's all right. Yeah.
we are announcing something related to you, me, and everyone we know, which we can kind of talk about
Yeah.
soon that same weekend, but she doesn't know that. So she's actually going to this concert with her best friend for a birthday surprise, but she doesn't know that
Sure.
yet. So I'm acting like I'm going with her, but deep down I know I'm not. So
Ah, there you go.
it's
So you
fine.
got some secret plans for 6 months from now. She's going to be very surprised when you're not there.
Yes. It's
There you
well, I
go.
don't know how long it'll last. It'll just be until we announce the You, Me, and Everyone We Know
Oh,
show.
sure. Yeah.
And then she'll be like, don't you have to be at that? And I'll be like, yes, I do actually. And I'll be
Surprise, yeah. Because James, you can do many things, but there's a few things. There's one thing that you cannot do, and that is cannot be two places at once. Though I'm sure if you could, that would be very, very beneficial for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I could really appreciate that kind of superpower right now.
Well, absolutely. Well, I mean, we've got to, there's a lot of things we could talk about, but I certainly want to talk about just, what we just brought up with you, me, and everyone we know, because I think there's a lot of good stuff going on. The song just came out today, and it's a great song from what I listened to it earlier, right before we came on, actually, because I saw Joel post about it, and I was like, oh, well, let me listen to this real quick. And, I think that's one of those things where it seems like he's kind of doing this on his own terms, because I think there's no other way you could really do it. It's kind of, especially, the reality of it being of obviously a band of that size, knowing what the best way to do it is. And it seems like from how it's being executed so far that it's going very well, at least.
Yeah, the song is being received really well so far, and the band's return has been going well. Today's kind of a disaster as we're talking right now.
Oh
The
no.
song did not hit Spotify at midnight, and it's because
Ah.
DistroKid, I can throw them under the bus, DistroKid, for whatever reason, I don't actually understand why this happened, but we've always used DistroKid, but for some reason today, instead of uploading the new song, it's called Fine,
Yeah.
to the band's account, You, Me, and Everyone We Know, it uploaded it to the accounts of three bands, one called
Ooh.
You, one called Me, and one called Everyone We Know, as if it's a collaboration between those three groups. So we're fighting with Spotify to fix that right now.
Yeah,
But the song is on YouTube, and there'll be an alternative press feature in, I think, an hour here at noon, which
nice.
it's already out there by the time people hear this.
Right,
And
right.
people seem to really like it. It's weird because Ben's not doing the band. Ben is the front man of the band, for people that
Right.
don't know. We're not doing the band as like a full-time trying to go on tour kind of thing, and we're only going to
Sure,
put out
sure.
one song every 8 to 12 weeks until
Yeah.
2021. We're going to put out an album about a year from now. So we're trying to do this like we're trying to do like the adult version of being in a band. That's like at a lower to mid level. So no tour
Yeah.
dates. We're going to play pop-up shows. So we're doing a living room concert in Grand Rapids next month, and then
Yeah.
we have. Right now, we have one, two, three, four. We have like four other shows that we haven't announced yet,
Yeah.
but they're in various states of work, and they'll all be kind of secret surprise shows. So the goal is to make everything we do an event that you kind of have to be
Sure,
around for.
sure.
And so far, that seems to be working, but it is hard because Ben and I both lack patience as people. So
Yeah.
we, you know, when something goes well, like the other day, we sent the new song to our mailing list a couple days early, and it got like, I don't know, like 1500 plays in a day. And we were like, oh, that's so cool. And then somebody offered us a bunch of tour dates, and we were like, maybe we should do it. And we're like, nope, check it.
No.
We're both too old and have too many bills to do that.
Yeah.
So instead we're doing these little curated events.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, again, it's one of those things where I'm sure, I mean, going on tour at this stage is something that you both have already done. I mean, so the allure of just like, oh, we're going to go on tour, I'm sure isn't enough to obviously make you drop everything. And financially speaking, risk, you know, the bill side of things, obviously have to get paid. So being in your 30s and going on tour is a lot different than it was, obviously, you know, when this band was, when you, me and everyone were, I guess 10 years ago, you know? So I think, like, yeah. I said, you're doing things this way is probably, obviously, financially speaking and just time wise, I'm sure is the best way to do it for you and Ben and just kind of, yeah, everyone that's involved to it.
Yeah. There is an everyone in the everyone we know part. So there's many more people, but luckily, you know, people really like the band, and we found that there are a lot of people who are willing to work with us on, you know, pricing and everything else. So like we have one guy, Nick Farron, who does all of the band's artwork. And we put out a music video today for this song that you can actually see. And it's made by a fan who reached out and gave us like a huge discount to work on the project with us. And so we're kind of really leaning on our friends and family, but we are going to do, I know of at least there's a full band show on March 27th in Philadelphia. It's not quite sold out yet, but it's close at Creep Records. And then we're going to do I'm guessing we'll do four more full band shows in 2020, but we have two of them more or less booked. One of them is the one in August that I referenced. And then otherwise we're going to do these living room shows. So like he's doing one in my living room to kick it off. It's like a test run.
Sure.
We're going to fit 25 people in my living room. They paid a premium, and then we're going to do a live podcast of the band's podcast with a special guest. And our buddy Landon DeFever is going to open the show, play a couple of songs, and then Ben's going to play a set list, but also take some requests. It'll be like a 2-hour event. And we're going to probably do like four of those this year as well. So like eight, our goal is to do a dozen gigs this year. So we're going to get really close to like eight.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I mean, if you've needed, so are you going to try to keep these like Midwest wise, like these shows and everything like that? I'm assuming just again, for logistically speaking, they're probably going to be around, if you got the show in Philly, but if you obviously have the show up in Michigan in your living room. So I'm assuming they're kind of going to be all regional like that. Is that right?
Well, not necessarily. For the living room shows, so the tickets for a living room show are a little bit of a premium. It's funny because a band like me and everyone we know can headline a club, like a 400 cap club with three other bands, and they'll make like $200 for the night. But if we do one of these living room shows, we sold 25 tickets at $25 a pop. I'm bad at math. That's a couple hundred. It's like $500, $600.
Yeah.
And that's more money than the whole band would make if they played a full band show. So so that money goes into paying for Ben's travel. And then we're going to do a special merch item for everything. But we are doing Michigan for sure. And we are in talks to do Florida and Massachusetts. And we're hoping to get out to the West Coast for at least one living room show. But we haven't really discussed how to roll it out. But basically what we're going to do is kind of keep it. Right now we're just relying on like friends and bands. One of the shows we're working on, we were really close to the band that lives in the city. And so they were like, come do it at our house. We'll open for you. It'll be like a kind of a thing like that where it feels organic and we're not like because like the last thing we want to happen is like agree to do a show somewhere and land and then that person's house is a disaster.
Yeah.
Or it's just like a mess. So we're being really selective, but we're open to going anywhere where we can sell enough tickets to pay for Ben's flight. I actually don't make any money in the process. I actually spend money almost every time we do something. But it's important for me to be there and I really enjoy just hanging out. Plus, he's like my best friend, so it's a bonus that I like what he does musically.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So when did you first meet Ben? Because I know you guys did, you know, your podcast, you know, kind of before you made everyone we know, we kind of struck back up a little bit. But when did you guys first meet and kind of how did that come to when they were coming back? Was it just, I guess, probably natural for you to be involved in some way, right?
I met Ben. Well, actually, I discovered You Mean Everyone We Know when they were on Pure Volume 1200 years ago. And
Yeah, Pure Volume. Whew.
I actually bought their first album, their first EP through Pure Volume, and Ben sent me a copy in the mail. It was like a CDR. Like, that's how long ago it was. And when I started, that was before I even wrote about music. And then when I started writing about music, I worked with him a little bit, but it actually wasn't until, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago at this point, I interviewed him for the first time, like long form. And we, I don't know, something about that conversation we just had. We had one of those, and I know you know this because you do a lot of interviews. It's like sometimes you're talking to somebody and you kind of break through the surface and you get into like real human stuff. Like, I always joke that if I could have an interview where I ask the person, like, how's paying for health insurance going, then I've had a good interview. Because, like, now we're talking about real stuff, where, like, your dog and your wife and your kids. So we had a conversation where
Absolutely.
we, like, really naturally just fell into talking about, like, real things and not music. And then when we got off the phone, it was like kind of like just talking to you. And then we just kind of became inseparable. And now every day of the week, I feel like he wakes up at like 5 a.m. So every day I wake up to him already texting me, and then I'm up later than he is because he gets up so early. So I text him last, and I'm like, aside from my girlfriend whom I live with, he's the person I talk to the most.
Absolutely. So he listens to you talk almost as much as she does. So there
Yeah,
you go.
maybe sometimes more so depending on the situation. Sometimes if she's not giving me the answer or the encouragement that I need, I start bugging him. So I'll be like yesterday when my Twitter got suspended, I was having a spiral, and she was like, she's not on Twitter, so she doesn't get it. But I was just like, who am I
That's fair.
without this? And I had to like go to Ben and be like, can you just check me real quick?
You were probably having a meltdown. She's just like, "What the fuck, dude? Like, it's fine."
She was,
And yeah, I
yeah.
mean,
She was like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change your value. And I was like, doesn't it?
doesn't it though? I mean, I got people
Yeah.
to depend on me to tweet.
I was like, but she was like, well, won't they all just follow you again? And I was like, that's the thing. I don't think they will.
No, not when you got 2,000 plus people following. It's hard to get them to follow again. I mean, some of them might not even remember they follow you, you know? So that's
Yeah.
rough.
I know. I had to, our buddy Joel today, I had to tweet him and be like, yo, can you follow this account so I can talk to you like a human being again? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I just figured I already follow you somewhere. And I was like, that's the thing. I don't have access. It's the whole
You could take
thing.
that back to her and be like, see, listen, people aren't gonna know who I am. People won't care about me again.
I consider this person a friend and they aren't even paying attention.
That's right. Yeah, Twitter, man, Twitter. I've thought multiple times about like changing my Twitter handle, and I don't know. One, I don't know what I would change it to. I'd love to just change it to like my name, but that's taken. And the unfortunate part about this is at Logan White was taken 4 years after I joined Twitter. So there must have been a time when I could have jumped on it and I just didn't. So now I'm hoping at some point Twitter finds a way to bring back the cleansing process without, disrupting the accounts that shouldn't be wiped out. So I don't know if they're gonna figure that out. That's something way above my intellect. So if they do, that'll probably be when I change my handle. But starting a whole new Twitter, that's brutal.
It's brutal, and I actually had my name. So I have like my name with my middle initial, and it's the same on everything. And so I had to find a new way to use it, and all the other James Shotwells are taken. So I like had to come up with, I was in the opposite of your position, where I was like, how do I make people know that it's me? And then I feel so pathetic. I'm like tweeting my verified friends, being like, can you follow this account so I can keep talking to you because I don't have your cell phone number?
See, do what I did. Just pick a Sum 41 song, like boom, there it is. That's your new
You
Twitter
know,
handle.
your
So
handle has driven me so crazy over the years that when I had to manually start adding people yesterday, I knew it by heart. And I was like, yeah, so after a long enough timeline, people learn it.
It's one of those things where I wish I could change it because it's a dumb handle that I don't even something I came up with. Like I said, it's a Sum 41 song. Well, it's a variation of a Sum 41 song, but like, yeah, it's very interesting. Like talking to people, like telling them, like if I meet up with somebody, they're always like, "What's your Twitter handle mean?" I'm like, let's not get into it. It's not that great. So if I could change it to just my name, that would be phenomenal. But here I am. I'm wondering, if I ever did change it, what would my legacy be? And then the reality sets in that I just don't have a legacy anyway. So I could really change it and probably nobody would notice, So But here we are.
That was my whole thing last night, is I was kind of spiraling, and Ben
Yeah.
was like, he's like, if you really pull all of your self-worth from how many Twitter followers you have, you should probably consider whether or not you have self-worth. And
Yeah.
I was like, I know, but I feel like people won't take me seriously without these
Yeah.
followers. And he was like, again, then you have a bigger problem. And I was like, all right, well, it's my
Yeah.
safety blanket. I matter because of
Right,
this.
absolutely. I mean, we gotta have an audience. I mean, we're not trying to get that deep into it. Sure, our self-worth isn't just Twitter, but it helps, I mean,
Yeah, it makes
it's
me feel like I matter slightly more than I probably do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, James, I want to talk a little bit, because you and I first met, I guess, a few years ago, almost 3 years ago now, through Substream at the time. So, but and that was something. Obviously, you've been writing about music forever, almost as significantly longer than I have, obviously. But what, I guess, drove you to decide that this was what you wanted to do? Because for me, it was that I realized I didn't have the musical talent to do anything, so my option was to write about it or just do something else. So, I'm curious what yours was like. What drove you to decide, writing about music, that's kind of where I want to go.
I read a book by Abbie Hoffman called Steal This Book, and in it there's a chapter about how to get free records. It was written in the 70s, so it's vinyl. It had this
Yeah.
story about how you could basically make a mock-up of a really professional-looking music magazine and send a picture of it to record labels and get free music. And I kind of translated that in my mind to, if I made a really professional looking
Yeah.
website, people would send me free music. And as you know, that's how it works.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I did it, and it started working, and I got, all the free music and even
Sure.
free tickets. And I don't know, at some point I was in college for music business at the time, and I realized that I was making more connections and doing more things because of writing about music than I
Yeah.
was like studying about music
Yeah,
business. And
absolutely.
now 12 years later, it's like I don't know how to do anything else as well as I do
Yeah.
this thing. Which again,
Yeah.
back to the follower panic, I was like, but how will they see my content?
Yeah.
But it's really just, it's one of those things that I started doing and then I never stopped, and then I looked up and like a bunch of years has passed. And now at this point, like even when you called me, I'm working on writing this thing for the Holics blog right now about the new song from Best X. And it's just like, it's all I know how to do. And it's like all I want to do. It's
Yeah.
that thing where it's like I really enjoyed it. And now at this point, I'm like, all I want to do is talk about art,
Yeah,
music,
yeah.
film, whatever. And I guess I assume a lot of people feel that way, but it is something that you and I have been lucky enough to get paid to do and to
Yeah.
do regularly for a long time. And so at this point, I'm like, I feel like I've earned my stripes and I should just
Yeah.
be able to keep doing this.
Yeah, that's you brought up an interesting point about doing it for the music. And I'll tell you, the first time, so I started my first website as just like I would just rant about music. Like, I had no real idea, like, because I was 16, so I had no idea what I was going to end up doing with it. And my first interview was with a local band. They were a local band, City Lights, and that was a fucking trip. But it was really great. It was really funny. But as a 16-year-old, I was just kind of like making it up as I went along. And then the first time I realized I could get free tickets was when a band called Sharks opened for Social Distortion, and I did an interview with them. And then the publicist was like, "You need guest lists." And I was like, "The fuck are you talking about?" I was like, "I already bought my ticket like 3 months ago, but sure, I guess I'll remember that next time." And that's when I realized, doing my own website was not making any money, but at least I could get into concerts for it. At least I wasn't spending more money than I would needed to spend. So that was always like an interesting perk that I discovered when I was 17. And since then, it's interesting, because that's probably the only reason I could go to these concerts. Other than that, I could not flush out this much money for concerts. So it's one of those things where it's a perk, but I think I didn't realize it quite in the same as soon as you did. But it's a really funny perk to explain to people, like going up to, like going to the Jonas Brothers concert and like going up to the box office, like, I'm on the Jonas Brothers guest list. Like, it's a really, really wild feeling sometimes. Like, that one always like stuck up, or stuck out, I should say. Like, doing that for Kevin Gates was really odd, like really odd. And but it's weird, man. It's quite the trip sometimes.
Absolutely. It's one of those things that never gets old, and I try to really hard to keep myself in check because you get a big opportunity like that. And
Yeah.
then it's funny because most people don't realize this, but you can get approved for Jonas Brothers today, and then tomorrow you'll apply for like a 400 cap room show and
Yeah.
get denied, and you'll be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
your ego
It's.
gets checked in different ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes, it's the obviously the bigger the venue, the more tickets there are, right? And in most
Yeah.
cases, right? I mean, you got 20,000 cap arena versus a 400 cap club, and especially if it's like a for example, like a Foo Fighters played like a small club, like that's game over. Like there's no chance in hell I'm getting into the, but if they did like an arena, I'd be like, well, maybe, so it's odd to think about stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
The thing is here in Grand, I mean, I live in Grand Rapids, so it's not like an A market, so competition is a
Right.
little bit less. But there is this guy, his name's John Beatty. I love him to death. He has a podcast called Brutally Speaking Brew Like Beer. And the other day, for example, the Refused were in town, and they got me in to do a podcast, and I was so excited. I was like, I'm doing a podcast with the Refused.
Nice,
This is
yeah.
awesome. So I do the interview with Dennis, and when it ends, he's like, hey, I have to run right now because I have another podcast. And in my brain, I was like, it's freaking John Beatty. So I text, so I sent him, so I
Yeah.
sent him a text, and I was like, I'm in the band's green room. Where are you? And he's like, I'm on the tour bus. And then I'm walking out of the venue, and he's waving at me from the tour bus window. And I was just like, you're the reason that
Yeah,
sometimes they say no to me.
that's
Because like now we're like
right.
we're friends, but he's like, the other day we were talking and he was like, so what do you got coming up? And I was like, I don't know, man, I haven't really sent any requests for March yet. And he was like, I'm working on May. And I was like, you can't do that to me,
Oh
dude.
my
Like
goodness. Yeah,
I don't
that's
have that kind of planning. He's like, oh yeah, I'm already
Yeah.
working on festivals. And I was like, no.
Oh, festival
So there
season
is that
so
little bit of,
far.
but I kind of like it because for a long time I was the only real journalist here, so I could get into
Sure.
everything. So it does make me have to work a little bit harder, just like this Twitter fiasco I'm dealing with right now. There's a part of me that's like, all right, now I actually have to work. I have to do some work. I gotta send some emails, I gotta call some
Yeah.
people, I gotta write some really high quality content, because I can't just be like, well, it's I exist, so it'll
Right,
be okay.
yeah, absolutely. Well, tell me what, and then I've got a lot of things that I think of when I ever like talk to, friends, or I talk to employees or something like that. They always, one of the questions always comes up is like, what is like the craziest thing that you've had to deal with? And there's a lot of things that come to my mind in terms of whether they're talking about weird interviews or whether they're talking about just outright disasters that I was like casually dealing with. And I don't know if you've got any, I'm sure, well, I know you've got some, but I don't know if you've got any that you want to discuss in detail, but let me just throw that at you. What, 'cause you've got, nearly more experience, you have more experience than I do with this, but what is something, give me, I guess, your craziest disaster that you had to deal with as either a writer or someone that was working with a band at the time?
Well, I will. I mean, I do have some good ones, but I'll tell
Oh,
you one
yeah.
that's kind of relevant to what's happening this week in music. So 9 years ago, when Drugs put out their debut album, I was running my own website at the time, Under the Gun Review, and
Yeah.
I had reviewed the record and gave it an 8 out of 10, which I
Yeah.
felt was a good. I feel like that's a good score in my
Yeah,
brain.
yeah,
That's good. That's like
yeah.
an A
80% is
minus.
good. Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
80%. Yeah, it's at least a B, which is not
All
bad.
right.
On a scale from 1 to 10, 8 is really good.
Absolutely.
So when the album was coming out, we were doing a lot of UTG TV stuff for YouTube at the time, and we got invited to go to Detroit to hang out with the band on the set of the video for Sex Life. And that
Yeah.
had never happened before, so we were like super stoked. We're like, all right, we're gonna start doing these behind the scenes video shoot stuff. So we have to be in Detroit at like 6:30 in the morning. And I was like, cool. So we drive to Detroit, we show up at this house, it's 6:30. We wait around for like 15 minutes for somebody to text us. We go inside. I remember the time because it happened right at this point in time.
Yeah.
6:45 in the morning, they tell us to come inside this house. And it's just like an unassuming house. The video is a house party, so we're going to be in this house all week.
Yeah.
6:45 in the morning, coffee in hand. I walk into the living room of this house, and sitting on the couch is the band. Well, at least Craig Owens, Matt Good,
Sure.
Nick Martin, Aaron Stern, and Adam. And they're all just sitting there like talking, and we walk in, and it's awkward because like I've met them all at various points for other bands,
Sure.
but we've never just like, this is an outside of a show meeting, right? Like we're just
Yeah.
people. So I walk in the room and we're like, hey guys, how's it going? And Craig Owens looks me in the eyes from across the room, and he goes,
Oh boy.
James, first words out of his mouth, he goes, James, 8 out of 10. And I was like, come again? And he's like, 8 out of 10. You gave our album an 8 out of 10. And I was like, yeah, man. I thought it was pretty good. Wasn't
Yeah.
like, I don't think that it's the best thing. I don't think it's better than Bone Palace Ballet, but I think it's a really good album.
Sure.
And there's a lot of room for growth. I think people are going to love it. He goes, I really expected more from you.
Oh, man.
And I was like, and like shortly before this, the director had been like, so just so you know, we're going to be here for about 15 hours today.
Yeah.
And so
Oh
like he
boy.
says that, and Matt, Nick, Aaron, Adam, none of them, they all have this look that are like, holy shit, dude, did you just say that to him? And there's just like this, and like the crew is there, the director, the camera guys, everyone is in this room, and they all hear
Yeah.
Craig just like dress me down in front of everybody.
Oh,
And I
how about
didn't
an
have anything
ego
to say,
check? Whoo.
and I was like, I don't know what you want me to say right now, but because I also I'm like, you know, whatever, 20 something, early 20s at this point. So I
Sure,
don't, and he is too, but I feel so small in this moment. And I just had to be like,
yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry that you feel this way. I'm trying to be tough because I realize that like I'm going to be judged all day for this, but
Yeah,
that
right, yeah.
happened. And then he didn't interact with us for the rest of the day.
Oh,
And it
that's
was just like
rough.
this thing hanging in the air that I still think about. So like this week when the story, and since then, he's never given me an exclusive or an interview or anything. And it's
Really?
always just, and I've always, and it's funny because I'm really close with all the other guys in that band now.
Yeah.
I was texting you about it a little bit this week when everything else came out, but
Yeah.
like me and Nick talk about, like even Nick came up to us that same day at the party and was like, I don't know what that guy's up to. He's like, so like
Yeah.
I think about that one all the time because I've never been
Yeah.
dressed down so hard in front of a group of people. And I've also never been like, and I remember just being like, it's a B, man. Like it's an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I didn't, it's not like it was a 6 or like a 4.
Yeah.
Like I showed up. I mean, if I gave it
Yeah,
like a
absolutely.
2, we probably wouldn't be here right now. Like
Oh, I'm
I
sure. Yeah,
clearly,
absolutely. Yeah.
I was like, I can't just love you because we know each other. That's not how this
Right.
works.
Yeah.
So that was a really long day.
Oh, that's rough. 15 hours of getting ignored by the front. Yeah, that's tough.
like start there and then be like, okay,
Yeah.
well, just you know, find your place and we'll hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
So that's a
that's a
good one
crazy
for you.
time too, because even you tweeted about this the other day about that video and how that video even got rolled out, and like that was really a weird time for the internet when that video was
Yeah.
obviously sex life and threw and is anyone up and all of that, and we could have a whole ass discussion on is anyone up itself, you know, and but
Of course.
that's such a weird time for music at that. I mean, it was I was young going through it, so I was like 17, like 18 when that was going on, but I was like involved all the same, but I just, you know, couldn't get into all the things, like when Hunter Moore was doing like his little parties and all that shit, and all that was going, like for the first half of that I couldn't get into it because I was underage, you know, and then when I could get into it he was like declining in popularity and he faced off his legal troubles, you know, so it was a very odd time for music and just I guess Twitter in general.
It was. It was a strange. Yeah, it was a strange time for all of that. And I remember I've been thinking about it a lot recently because we can talk about it in a minute. I'm working on this new project that's talking to a lot of artists from that time period. But I remember like, I can clearly remember waking up and having an email being like, "Did you know that like you can see Johnny Craig nude on this website right
Yeah,
now?" And I was like, "I don't."
yeah,
Like that was an email that I got. It's
yeah.
just like,
Oh boy.
what are we doing? What are we doing as a
Yeah.
community?
It's Yeah, that was tough. And you know, and I actually interviewed him. Like I interviewed him in 2013, and I went to one of his parties, interviewed him, and I need to find the like the recording that the device I used at that time, because I would love to unearth it, because I just know that it wasn't great. Because so I got there and I was 19, so I got in. Obviously, I can't legally drink, and so I'm like texting him, and like he's running late naturally because you know what the fuck, he's not gonna show up on time. So he gets there at like 10:30, calls me, says he's here. So I come backstage, and he hands me a drink. I'm like, well, this is not gonna go well. This is not off to a good start. I can't necessarily tell him no because I was like, well, like this is like pressured in the sense, you know. But also, I don't know what the hell is in this drink. So I took it, and it was ended up being fine. But just like at that point, I knew that the night was just gonna just go straight downhill, and it did, you know. So I ended up like doing an interview with him. It was like it was just a mess because he was, you know, not sober. And then we just hung out all night, and it was just like there's like a video from that like party that's out on the internet. And like I look it up every once in a while, and you see me like next to him. I just and I'm watching that video. I'm just like, this is a mess. Like I don't know how this like how we all just collectively said yes, this is fine, you know. And a lot of people didn't think it was fine, you know, and it wasn't really. But just that it went on for as long as it did, I think is so strange, really.
Yeah, it's an era of my life that I sometimes it's hard to believe exists, because we also had like scene kings and scene queens back then. Like there were people who were just famous for looking like they belonged in the alternative scene, which I guess they're kind of starting to reemerge on TikTok. Like I've seen a
I
few
see that, yeah.
like Danielle Vanity and stuff like that but I'm not ready for it to come back. I think I'm too old for that now. I don't know that we'll ever see something like that happen again, which is cool in a way, and also a sign that it was probably bad, because if it doesn't happen again, it was probably
No,
bad.
there's, yeah, I mean, there was there was not a lot that was good about that, you know. It was certainly, I mean, again, as a young kid, I was, you know, 18, 19, like I didn't care, you know. But as a 26-year-old, if I'm, you know, if I'm looking at this now and I'm saying, okay, here comes a guy that's, you know, if Hunter Moore was going on today, first of all, he wouldn't get to that point, right? I mean, you wouldn't be able to do that because the way, you know, society is now, I think it's for the better that they wouldn't let it happen. You know, I just don't, you know,
Yeah,
and
I
I hate
mean,
using the
it's
word canceled, but I
basically
think
because of
he would
Hunter
get
Moore that
canceled.
we have those laws, right? Like revenge porn
Yeah,
laws kind of exist
right.
because of Hunter Moore.
Yeah. Yeah, he shaped society in a lot of ways, you know. And when I think of him, I think of when he went on Anderson Cooper and started arguing with this woman's mom about like her daughter's nudes or like something like that being leaked online. And he was like, "Don't blame me, blame her." And it's like, "Well, no, that's not how this works. Like you're facilitating the sharing of them. Like you're very much responsible for this, you know."
Yeah, exactly. It's yeah, I mean, to his credit, like how many of us can say that we did something so messed up that it created a law to
Sure,
like
yeah.
prevent it from continuing to happen? Like,
Yeah.
it's, I mean, that's pretty intense. Most laws are like obvious things like don't murder, don't steal, but this is one where someone had to do it first before they were like,
Yeah.
we can't allow that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and to do it on such a large scale. I mean that, and I know he was making good money off of it, because him and I talked about it and how much money he made off of visiting one up and how much money he was getting paid for his parties. And like, you know, I guess, you know, it's hard to give him like credit or like give him kudos for that, you know. But at the same time, like people are always gonna do that. If they can find a way to make money despite the morality of it, it's gonna happen, you know. So I think if it wasn't him, somebody else probably would have done it, you know. But now it's just him, and I don't think he's
Yes.
ever gonna do. I don't
Okay,
even know
I
what he's
lost
doing. I know
you.
he
Where'd
came
you
back
go?
on Twitter for a bit, and then he got kicked off again, and I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I agree. So people are always going to find a way. And I personally, I knew a lot of people who appeared on his website and stuff that wanted to, that were kind of like, oh, that are, you know, just okay with it. They're very
Sure.
free spirited people, and they were like, I don't mind being nude on the internet. Like, I get a ton of followers. I keep living my life. Who cares? So, yeah.
Well, let's pivot. We'll leave him in the past, because that's kind of where that is. You know what I mean? I know you said you have a project, so we can talk about that a little bit, however much you want to share about what you've that new project you've got going on.
Yeah, so I've got this thing. It's not officially announced yet. I just talked about it on, I did a podcast that's not going to be out for a while last week when I was in Nashville. So depending on when you get this out, you might get the scoop.
All right, here we
But I'm
go.
working on a project right now. It's a new podcast, but it's different. There are way too many podcasts that are conversation based. Not that this is that,
Sure.
obviously, but there's a lot of
Yeah.
there's like 900,000 podcasts right now,
Oh yeah,
right?
absolutely.
And I have one, you have one, you mean everyone we know has one. That's a joke, but also serious. And
It is.
I wanted to do something different because I realized that I really love podcasts that are like almost like Netflix series, where they're like limited run things, you know, like really highly curated, very specific things. So I fell in love with this podcast called The History of Stand-Up. That's like two seasons. Each season is eight episodes each, and they are very specific. Like, they have a theme and a focus, and they give you the history of stand-up comedy from these two different angles. And then this year, I fell in love with a podcast called Boomtown that is a journalist in Texas who is covering this oil field over the course of a year or so.
Sure,
and he took his writing about it and turned it into like an 11 episode podcast series that looked at this community around this oil field from like every perspective, from like the oil itself to the workers to the town to one episode is about like the prostitution and sex industry around the oil field, you know, just like every way you can look at something. With all that in mind, coming summer 2020, I'm in production on it right now, so no one beat me to the punch or steal my idea, but
there we go.
It's a show, it's called High Notes, and it's co-created by Anthony Green of Circa Survive, and the premise is very straightforward. Every season is 6 to 8 episodes featuring one-on-one extensive interviews with members of the music industry who are in various states of recovery from drug addiction. It was Anthony's idea, and after his relapse in November of last year, we decided that like now we really have to do this thing because clearly we got to talk about it. And then and then in December we lost Juice WRLD again from addiction by all signs. So what it is like I said, 6 to 8 episodes. The first season is all about the alternative and punk space because clearly that's where I come from. That's where Anthony comes from. So we have conversations with Anthony. We have conversations with Tommy Vext of Bad Wolves, Justin Furstenfeld from Blue October, Burt McCracken of The Used, Mod's Son, Joel Birch of The Amity Affliction. And this one's already done, so I feel like I can say it with and still get canceled if somebody hates me that much. But I've already recorded a 90-minute episode with Johnny Craig as well. Johnny Craig is kind of a hot button topic. I know people hate him. Listen, this is my pitch for anyone that's like, I don't know about a show like this. This is my pitch. I am obsessed with the idea of how public perception informs our sense of empathy for people struggling. So when I think about Anthony Green and Johnny Craig, they both have the same affliction. They're both heroin addicts. They've both dealt with heroin addiction publicly for a number of years.
Sure.
However, Anthony Green is viewed as this tortured artist who's a family man who is struggling with this disease called addiction, while Johnny Craig is somebody that people call a junkie who should die. And those are some really big extremes. And, you know, yes, their actions in the public spotlight do inform public perception, but at the end of the day, they're both just people who have the same addiction who we should treat with a certain amount of empathy, I feel, even if they are not great guys. So each episode of the show, I'm going to talk to somebody with a different states of recovery who has used their addiction or has come through addiction in a different way. So Anthony is a family man who has been clean throughout the life of his children up until recently. Tommy from Bad Wolves is now a sober coach, and we're going to talk about that. Son, for anyone that doesn't know, he is a hippie, always talked about doing mushrooms and drugs, and now he's sober. So that's kind of like, you know, his identity versus the real person. And Johnny's is specifically about the whole idea of perception. So like, you know, he and I went out to sushi in Los Angeles, and we talked about everything, including the recent stuff involving his ex and her heroin use, to the first time he ever put a needle in his arm, to, you know, getting kicked off Warped Tour, to a story that a lot of people don't know about, where about 2 years ago he was hospitalized and told he was never going to walk again due to his drug use, all of his trips to rehab, to finding out that he's going to be a father. It is a crazy roller coaster of a ride, but each episode is going to be a self-contained thing. We're going to do 6 to 8 of them, then we're going to be done until next year. I think we're going to do like hip hop and try to do eight interviews about hip hop. But the idea of the show, it's called High Notes. The music will be the intro song is done by Yumi and Everyone We Know. I think we might get Ronnie from Red Jumpsuit Apparatus in there too. But it's going to be, it's all very serious. There's no promotion. Like none of it is about the music. It's all about the person behind the music. Cause I feel like that's something we don't talk about. So that's what I'm working on right now outside of my day job at Holix, the industry leader for promotional distribution. That's my new baby, which is part of why I've been freaking out about my suspension on Twitter, because I was like, how am I
Sure.
going to tell people about my thing?
Yeah,
But I'm guessing
absolutely.
that having Johnny and Anthony will probably get some retweets regardless,
Sure.
so I think it'll work out.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous how people are going to react to it, because I feel like, obviously with Johnny, but other people on the show as well, that there are some people who feel like we shouldn't talk about these issues because it almost
Yeah.
encourages it. You know what I mean? Like, if Anthony tells you he wrote your favorite Circa Survive album while he was in the throes of heroin, people might be like, I should
Yeah.
probably do heroin.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, and that's
But
true,
I feel
yeah.
like the only way to help people talk about these issues with their friends and family who are going through it is to hear someone else do it. So if I can talk to Anthony Green in a very real way about heroin use and addiction, then it makes it a little bit easier for someone to talk to their dad or their brother or
Yeah.
their sister about what they're going through.
Yeah.
And also, the stories are way crazier than any tour story you can ever get. Like, Justin from Blue October has a great story about going to rehab for meth addiction and trying to sit still for morning meditation, and it's just like your brain like breaks trying to like comprehend that.
Yeah.
You're like, who cares about what you've written, dude? That story is way better. So it's a collection of like terrible stories and lessons learned, and hopefully we generate some empathy, because that's really
Yeah.
what I think we need more of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it sounds like a great project, and I would tell you that it's one of those things that listening to you talk about it, I think it's first of all, I think when you talked about the idea that some people might think of, oh well, he wrote this or he was on heroin or whatever. The first thing I thought of was Say Anything, when Is a Real Boy was out, when he was obviously going through a lot of things that he wasn't either diagnosed for, he was diagnosed for but wasn't getting treated properly for, right? And then when he did start taking medication and everything, everyone was like, oh well, this album sucks, I wish you were still like not getting treated for your bipolar, like stuff like that. And that was 10 years ago, almost, when I think I first started reading about all that, but I'm sure it still exists, unfortunately. I think, hopefully, first of all, your Twitter will probably be back by then. And if it's not, then we'll keep adding a Twitter until they get it at, get it unblocked, but unlocked. But, I think the Johnny Craig one will be interesting. I'll listen to it. I mean, it's one of those things that I think there's a lot of
You kind
things
of
out
recoil a
there.
little bit, right? When you hear it, you're like, I don't like you and I have a mutual friend, Landon DeFever.
Yeah.
Like, when I told him, I was like, I was in LA for work, and I was like, so I just found out I get to go to dinner with Johnny tonight. We're gonna do the interview.
Yeah.
He literally texted me. He was like, I want you to think really hard before you
Yeah.
release that. And I was like, I don't know, man, but like, I feel like the idea of not doing it because he's a bad guy only further punishes him for being an addict. I'm not like
Sure.
no point in the interview, like his concern, and I think the general concern for people who don't listen to the show, because I have to assume that people won't listen to the show. They'll just see
Sure.
that Johnny's on it and
Sure.
they'll assume that it's this. At no point do I allow him, or does he try to say, I did this bad thing because I'm an addict. Like, that
Right.
doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And there are points where he like just to run through some things, like, so the story about his girlfriend, him helping her get addicted to heroin, he completely admits that he played a role in that, and he talks about why he felt like he had no choice but to do it. But at no point
Yeah.
do I tell him, like, if I repeatedly tell him, like, we're not trying to say that your addiction did this, because you made this
Yeah.
choice at the end of the day. And he recognizes that, and he doesn't he's not coming to the interview from the perspective of like, this is going to change people's opinions. He's a person who's been so vilified for good reasons, he'll admit,
Yeah.
that he doesn't expect that there's going to come a day where everyone's like, no, we love Johnny Craig again. He's just trying to, like, do the best he can now, which,
Yeah.
is a thing. He just found out he's going to be a father. The day that we did this interview was the first day they did, what do you call this, a sonogram, where you see the baby. So we sat down about an hour after they did the sonogram, and like, spoiler alert, but he like starts crying when we start talking about, like, when you think about the fact that you're about to be a dad and this kid is going to come up in a world where they have an addict father, but also the ability to Google you and like see all the things that's ever happened to Johnny. That's really hard for him to process. And I don't know that it means he's going to change, but I try to keep my mind open to the possibility that that this person wants to change.
Yeah.
And he
Yeah.
seems to, but I mean, I understand that there are going to be, I'm sure I'm going to get 1,000 retweets from people who are like, screw this guy. And that's fine. But I feel like it's worse to just assume that. I feel like if people don't give him the chance to tell his side of the story, then we are saying that anyone who's an addict that does bad things is always a bad person. And I want to empathize. I think it's possible to support someone's recovery without condoning their behavior.
Absolutely.
And I feel like these days we're too black and white, especially on the internet. We're just like,
Sure.
it's either all good or all bad. And Johnny is a several thousand shades of dark gray. But nonetheless, he is a person who is he's self-aware of it. 'Cause I feel like people think he doesn't know. Like when we sat down, it was also around the time that he posted on Instagram about trying to sell a MacBook, like recently. And everyone was like, bro, what are you doing? And so like I asked him at one point, I was like, when do you think everything turned? Like, when do you think you became Johnny Craig the joke? And he said, I think it was when this MacBook thing happened. And then he like, he admits that like doing it again was like silly. But I'll tell you, even in the industry, like the day that I did lunch with him, I was at meetings with some of the record labels you and I work with all the time and some of the other guests that are going to be on the show. And they'd all be like, do you want to do something tonight? Or what are you doing tonight? And I'd say, I'm going to dinner with Johnny Craig. And they would like every single one of them was like, you're doing what now? You know what I mean? They're just like everyone was like, are you sure? Or, make sure that you make him tell the truth. And like it's so crazy that someone can get so vilified that no one actually takes the time to talk to them anymore. And I was like, I don't know, man. Like I feel like there's more to this guy than just being like there's no way that he's so dumb that he doesn't know that everyone thinks this about him. You know what I mean? Like he
Absolutely.
exists in the world. He's either a total narcissist, which would make a great episode of a
Either
podcast,
way,
or he's an extremely flawed human being, which would also make a great episode of a podcast. So it turns out it's the second one, but I would have been happy with either one.
No doubt. I mean, listen, I think it's one of those things, and not to go down this completely like road of criticizing, the current society, but I think you mentioned the idea of everything just being black and white, right? I think the idea, I think you made the joke about you might get canceled for this, and that's a whole thing that I think, it's I think that itself is the way it's done, I think, can be a flawed thing. I don't have an issue with, the per se the canceling of an artist, right? Or, the canceling of whatever it may be, right? But I think there are times, and not in Johnny Craig's defense, because like you said, he's got a lot of things that say, or a lot of not even just stories, a lot of things that happen that make you go, ah, this he's obviously not a great guy, right? And is he the worst person in the world? I don't know. I don't know him personally, right? So I have no idea, and I think there's never a bad time for getting somebody's story per se, as long as you hold them accountable and honest, which it sounds like you did. And so I think, and when I interviewed Chris Jericho back in November or whatever, he does his podcast, and he mentioned that he does, people, he brings people on, that he had like one with Eric Trump Jr., and he had someone with like the flat earther guy. He's like, I don't really give a shit. He said what they believe personally. He said, I don't care if people stop listening because they can listen next time, but he said something similar along the lines of shutting people out and for differences, whether it's different beliefs or past actions, kind of causes a larger issue, of just ignoring them as people just because either they believe something differently, or in Johnny Craig's case, have a long history that's not always great, but like you said, at the end of the day, you're always human, and that's all you can really do, is just at least talk to them and see what they can say. And some things you can't excuse, there's some things that he couldn't say that would make up for his actions, and it sounds like he knows that himself,
Yeah, it's in people's nature to be tribal, and so I think people sometimes view social media or whatever it happens to be as like their tribe, like their followers are their tribe, their community of people. And if you don't want someone to be a part of your tribe, then you don't want anyone else in your tribe to associate with that person, which I completely get. That's like some leftover monkey caveman shit in our brains. But it's weird that people get this like sense where they're like, well, the entire internet is my tribe. And so if I don't want you to be a part of my tribe, then I don't want you to be on the internet. Like, we have to, like, these people can't just, you know, go off into the shadows and they live in the woods forever. Like, they have to exist among the rest of us. So we should recognize their faults, talk to them, make sure that they understand their faults, and, you know, try to help them in whatever ways we can without forgiving their behavior. Because I understand that, like, and I'm sure that there are plenty of things in the Johnny interview that I missed, or we didn't talk about, like some of the allegations from other women and things like that, which we touch on, but we don't get into details on, where people will be like, well, he probably still did this. And like, I imagine that my intro to that episode will probably be like 35 minutes long.
Sure, right?
Here's 900 warnings about what's about to happen.
Absolutely.
but at the same time, I think, like, when I tell people that I have Anthony Green on the show and we're going to talk about his heroin addiction, I think there'll be hundreds of people who want to hear that conversation.
Oh, yeah,
so like, the question is, like, well, then why is it cool, like, quote unquote cool, that Anthony can talk about this stuff but Johnny can't?
Right.
And I love Anthony. Like, we're friends. I text him every week to check on his recovery. But it is that, like, I want to understand why it is that we only want to hear about dark things from people that we like, rather than people who are like really, whose life really, like, really got messed up. You know what I mean? Like,
no, absolutely.
I try to believe that no one is past the point of no return. Even like, even people that block me on Twitter. Like, I don't like Ronnie Radke, but I sent him an invitation to be on the show, which he turned down, of course. But I was still like, I want to talk to you, because for a while I was like, it would be really cool to do like a villain's row of podcast guests.
Yeah.
Just do like every scene villain and be like, let's talk about it. And maybe someone else can do that. Like, if someone has more power than me, I would love a podcast that was like villain's row of scene bands. Just like all the people that everyone says are terrible people. Like, I want to interview with all of them about that public perception.
Yeah.
But
that's a good idea.
You know.
Hey, listen, I'm down for that. That's
right, right. So someone out there, steal this and say villain's row, call it whatever you want. Just give me an executive producer credit, like one of those meaningless,
original
idea.
They stole your idea, so they gotta give you something.
Between Logan and James, and like, run with it.
Boom.
Go out there,
yeah, absolutely.
Because I will listen every single week.
Absolutely. Yeah. See, I feel like, at this point, I don't know if you could do it, because now you're about to get canceled for one thing, right? So, can you do a whole other?
Oh, then I'll just double down. I mean, it's funny because, like, on my old account, my account that I currently can't access. When I was doing that thing with Johnny, all this heat was around him, and I actually follow several people in my feed who I'd see be like, if you follow or talk about Johnny Craig, just unfollow me now or block me. I don't want anything to do with you.
Sure.
And then the whole time I was reading these thinking like, just wait, you know what I mean? Like, it's coming. Like, we're gonna do this. And he didn't help matters, because he posted something on Instagram that was like, I'm doing a podcast today where I'm gonna tell my side of the story. And I was like, bro, can you not?
Can you
wait until I have all the other ones? Because my plan to roll it out is that all the episodes will be recorded. I'm doing them all in person, so it's taking a little bit longer to get them done.
Sure.
Because of the subject matter. But when they're all done, we're going to put out a teaser first that's like an intro to the podcast. Like, here's what it's about. Here's who's going to be on it. And in that teaser, I'll have, you know, Anthony, everyone else, and then Johnny will be in the middle. So if people are paying attention, they'll know that it's coming.
Yeah.
But I'm like, we're going to go head on being like, this is what the show is. And I've tried to tell other people who are on it that he's a part of it and who else is a part of it, because the last thing I want is to do, like, I'm having a smaller artist, Absinthe Father, on the show.
Sure.
They're a non-binary artist. Great, Haley. They're doing the show to talk about their addiction to alcohol. And so, like, the last thing I want is for Haley to, like, feel like I somehow deceive them.
Oh,
by
sure.
Being like,
yeah,
you're
absolutely
on a podcast that also features Johnny Craig.
Right.
Because I don't want them to be like guilty by association.
Absolutely.
But the goal is to just roll it out all at once. That's another reason why I'm like, I want to get them all recorded first, because I feel like if I just led with the Johnny one, it might be hard to get all the other guests.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I'm telling people that he's on the show, but it'll come out all at once. So when you see me announce High Notes, just expect that, like, hopefully I can have it done by the end of May, and then like June and July, every week, one episode a week, we'll have a conversation about the struggles of addiction and sobriety in the music industry.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. I think it's great. You know, I think, you know, I mean, that interview, obviously, like you mentioned, it's going to be whatever, you know, it's going to get the attention it's going to get, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know. But I think, you know, even outside of it, I think it's a great idea, because there are so many people, so many musicians, obviously, and so many people that just quote unquote regular people, right, that deal with the same things, you know. And so I think it's such a such an interesting conversation to have, and whether it's, with, Anthony Green or Johnny Craig or Haley and anyone like that, I think it's such a relatable topic regardless. And it's going to be hard. I think I'm sure there's hard conversations in there. None of it's an easy topic per se, but I think it's, I don't know if necessary is the right word, but I think a lot of people don't talk about it that much. Like you said, some people just kind of don't want to hear about it. They think maybe that's better to not hear about what people go through. But I wouldn't be one of those people. I don't think you do any harm by talking about the realities of what it is. Whether it's someone like Anthony who's a family man, he's got a great, all by all accounts, a quote unquote great life, right? So I think you're showing different sides of people that may look out from the outside and go, oh, well, why would they be addicted, quote unquote? Like, why do they have any problems, versus someone like Johnny Craig who lives a very different life, So I think those two
Yeah.
alone are great comparisons for that.
Yeah, and I'm sure that when it all comes out, I'll probably have to do a bunch more of these podcasts, and every single
Yeah.
person will only want to talk about that one episode, but that's fine. That's cool.
Sure,
It'll be weird.
sure.
Like
Absolutely.
my goal is that we can talk to every, like that people will want to talk about it all, but at the end of the day, as long as people are more, open to talking about addiction, even if it's good or bad, I think it demystifies it, and that makes it easier for us to deal with as a society. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, James, let
Thanks for
me
letting
ask
me
you
plug
this.
that forever.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm excited for it. Let me ask you this before we go. What else do you have coming up that you've got that you want to plug that's here? I'm sure you got a lot of good things. So, I mean, I know that's probably taking up a bulk of your time there.
Well, I am the director of customer engagement for Hollix, the
Yeah.
industry's leading digital promotional distribution platform. We help record labels send music to journalists like Logan and all these other places. I also run the company blog, HollixDaily.com, our YouTube channel, Music Biz, our podcast, Inside Music. And we have a bunch of stuff going on there. We have a job board that I run, the music industry job board. And I have hopefully, a lot of journalistic endeavors on the horizon. I've got
Yeah.
some stories to pitch you, Logan, in the
There we go.
future. I contribute to alternative press and some other
Yeah,
places on a sliding scale. I don't know if I'll still get my pitches taken since I've lost my following, but
that
we will gauge that in the future. And then I'm jokingly going on a quote unquote tour of I'm traveling a lot this year for show coverage and things like that. So.
sounds
I'm working on that, and then I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but I should have a very cool project with Furnace Fest coming up in the
Sure.
next month or so. It should be unveiled. So I'm working with Furnace Fest a little bit, and beyond that, I'll just use this to plug my partner, Brittany. She works for Live Nation, but she is a certified yoga instructor and ecstatic dance leader. And she's starting some ecstatic dance and mindful movement events here in the West Michigan area. So if you are out
Yeah.
here, you can look that up. Ecstatic Dance GR for Grand Rapids. And I don't want to plug my Twitter because I don't know if I'll ever have access to it again. But if you just look up James D. Shotwell on anything else, Facebook, Instagram, so forth, you'll find me. So
Yeah,
that's all my stuff.
there we go. And we can't forget Tulip. I wanted to mention Tulip.
Yeah.
I always love seeing Tulip and all of the animals, but Tulip's
I
always a
have a
pleasure.
there's a publicist in both of our lives who actually got me into a show recently because they like the dog so much.
Yay, there we go.
They were like, can you send me some extra photos of your dog and I'll make sure you get into this gig? And I was like, I like this version of the music business.
There we go. Listen, nothing says you can't use animals for your own gain every once in a while, right? I mean,
Yeah,
she's just a celebrity. What can you say? There we
exactly.
go. All right, perfect.
All right, sounds good, man. Yeah, I think that's everything I have. I took up a lot of your time.
No, that's all right. I appreciate it. I'm glad we were able to get this knocked out. I'm excited for it. It'll probably be up here. I've got two more, so it'll probably be up in a few weeks or so. So we'll get it up, and I'll
Great.
let you know. And I'm excited for it.
All right, as someone from Ohio, I appreciated an Ohio named podcast.
Absolutely. I couldn't do it any other way. All right, James. I will talk to you later. When you get off, we'll just stay on here for a minute. I'll upload all our audio, then we'll be good to go.
Perfect.
All right.